Well, we're glad you're here today. I know that the students in Seminole County have already started back to school, and our Orange County students are starting this week. I obviously don't have students in school, but I have to tell you, there's something about the beginning of the school year that I miss, that I love. You know, it seems to help mark time. You know, when you get old like me and you don't have kids that are in school, then it's like one day is like the next day. And some of my favorite time was going back to school. I loved that. I love learning, and I loved going back to school. And then in our family, we didn't have big Christmases and big birthday parties, but going back to school was a huge thing for us. You know, like we got all of our clothes and everything. We got all that at going back to school time, and it was just, to me, it was pretty amazing. But when it comes to going back to school, not only is there that kind of anticipation and that anxiety at the same time, because you don't know what's going to happen next, but you do know that, like, you've accomplished some stuff to get where you are, and you've enjoyed the summer, and now you know that you're ready. The teachers they've determined that you're ready to move forward, that, like, you've accomplished everything that you were supposed to accomplish up to this point. And now you're ready to move into the next grade. In fact, it's kind of that way in life as far as I'm concerned. There are some basic lessons that we have to kind of learn as we move along. And once we get those basic lessons, then it's like we're ready to move forward into another area or greater area of our life. There are a lot of people that many times they want to move forward before they're ready to move forward. And the last thing that you want to do in life is move forward before you're ready. There are a lot of people that have moved forward. They've pushed and pushed and pushed and moved forward, and they've acquired something. They've acquired a position, acquired a house, acquired a relationship. They've acquired something in their life, and they weren't emotionally or relationally ready for it. They weren't ready. Their character wasn't ready to sustain the place where they were. And so God has a process. It's God's classroom, if you would. There's a place where he leads us, and he's trying to take us somewhere in our lives, and there are some things that he wants us to learn. Have you ever been around somebody that you know, like, they're aging, obviously, but they're just not growing up? You know? My mother used to say, "You're old enough to know better, but you don't." You know, she used to say, that was mean, wasn't that? You know? But there are some people, when you look at them, you know, like, they're old enough to know better than that. Somewhere there was a grade that they missed emotionally or something. Common sense-wise, like, did you miss common sense 101 or something? Old enough to know better. I came across a video recently, and there's some people in this world that it's obvious they're old enough to know better, but they don't. We're going to watch a video here. Okay, you know what scares me about that in that video? Not one woman. I can only imagine they're standing on the side. They're not on camera. They're standing on the side like, "I told you not to do that." You know? But it's apparent that there are some people, like, they missed common sense 101, or they missed something in their development. But ultimately, the truth is, all of us, we have a place that we want to go. Each of us have relationships that we'd love to have, or we want to be in a place financially or even professionally, spiritually. There's a destination that we'd love to see our life attain. And there are some things that we're going to have to go through. There are some things that we're going to have to learn. And we're not going to be able to get to those places unless we go through the classroom of life, until we go through the lessons that we have to learn in order for us to get there and graduate from those lessons in order for us to get to the future that God has for us. And ultimately, if you think you have a great plan for your life, you ought to know God's plan for your life, because it's better than the plan you have for yourself. In fact, as we're going through life and as we're learning, there's going to be some things that are going to take place in your life. In life's lessons, in life's classroom, there are going to be distractions. I was one of those kids in school that I got distracted by everything. Like anything taking place, somebody's talking behind me, like I want to hear what they're hearing, what they're saying. Like I'm distracted by everything in that circumstance. There's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some things, just like in school, there are going to be some things that it's going to take you a while to grasp it. And then once you do, like you have it. And then really many times you're ready to share it with somebody else. It's just that same way in life. It's going to be some challenges. There are going to be difficult circumstances. There's going to be difficult people around you that you're going to have to learn to deal with. You're going to have to learn to manage those people. And yet in the middle of all of that, there's going to be great opportunities because you're being prepared for something. You're being prepared for your future. There's going to be accomplishments that you're going to have. See, God, often he tests us in life, and no good teacher ever tests a student until they know they're ready for the test. Teachers are not just being vindictive. Most of them are not being vindictive. I just turned every one of the people that were on this stage up here earlier. But the truth is, they don't prepare you. They don't give you a test unless they've prepared you adequately for it. But once you're prepared for it, then ultimately there's going to be an achievement. There's going to be an accomplishment. And ultimately there will be a promotion to the place where you're supposed to land in your life. So God has this classroom that he uses. There's a process that he puts us through. There's a design that he has for us. There's a place that he's trying to take us to go to. And as he's trying to take us, there are some lessons that he wants us to learn. You see, there are a lot of times when I've seen in my life when a student is in eighth grade. I can remember being in eighth grade. Man, I didn't want to be in eighth grade. I wanted to be a senior. I thought I was ready to graduate from high school. But there were things I just didn't know. There was an education I still had to have before I could graduate from high. There was education I had to have before I could graduate to the ninth grade. When we receive Christ, or when we come to understanding in Christ, the truth is our salvation experience is not completed. Yes, we are saved. If we died, we'd go to heaven. But the truth is there's still a continuing process that God puts us through. He's still developing us. And as he's developing us, there's a destination he wants us to take us to. I'm going to find scripture today. If you want to turn with me in Joshua, the sixth chapter, in just a few moments. But I was saying, and we're going to read a passage out of there. It's a famous story. But before we do that, let me just tell you, in case you're wondering about the design for your life and the direction that you have for your life, and all of us, no one desires to have a bad life. You know, no one's waking up in the morning like, man, my life, I hope that one day my life is worse than this. You know, nobody does that. Everybody desires to have a greater life. But here's the deal about it. As Jesus came, the Bible says in John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, I've come that you might have life and live it to the fullest. The life that you want, it's nothing in comparison to the life that Christ has for you. The life he has for you is as full as it can get. It's the biggest, it's the broadest, it's the best dimension of your life. And the stage where you are, there are things that he wants to teach you where you are. The stage where you are is designed for you to learn something so that when you get to that, you can own it. Emotionally, spiritually, financially, relationally, you'll be able to own that place in your life. And so God is working in you, and he wants to accomplish something in you so that he can do something through you. He'll do that before he moves you ahead. Many times what we want to do is we want to trade out where we are for another place. If you're in a place, listen, if you're in a place today, you're there right now by God's design. If it's a reoccurring place that you're there, you've been there for a while, and it seems like you can't get past this place in your life. You're there by God's design. Most likely, there's something that he either wants you to do there, there's something he wants to work through you there, or there's something he wants to work in you there. There's something he wants to teach you in character. There's something he wants to teach you in understanding. There's something he wants to teach you in compassion. There's some understanding that he wants you to get. While you're in that place, there's something that he's teaching you. And if you'll grasp it, you can't move forward to the next thing until you get what God wants you to get where you are. And so in this story that we're going to take a look at today, it's about the children of Israel. and the children of Israel, they're the called people of God. They're the blessed of God. And God has designed for them to move into what he calls the promised land for their life. It's a place promised for their future. And the Bible says it's plenteous, flows with milk and honey. Their life is going to be great there. But the reality is, before they ever get there, there are some battles that they have to win. There are some things that they have to go through. Because when they get there, ultimately, they're going to be the people of God. They're going to shine like God wants them to. They'll be the reflection of God in this world. So before then, there are some battles that they have to go through. There are some things that they have to defeat. And in your life, there are going to be some things that you have to defeat. There are going to be battles that you're going to have to walk through before you can ever get to the life that God has for you, the promised land that he has for you. So we're going to be in Joshua, the 6th chapter. And if you don't have your Bible, you can either look on the handout or there's a QR code that you can scan and go to the YouVersion. This is going to be a big passage. And so we put this in YouVersion because I'm going to read a lot of scripture. Imagine you're in church and we're going to read a lot of scripture. And so Joshua, the 6th chapter. Now, the children of Israel, they're getting ready to own this promised land that God has for them. But yet there are some things that they have to get. Joshua, the 6th chapter, the first verse. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Now, first of all, let me talk to you about Jericho itself. Jericho was a city that had been fortified. They obviously had protected themselves. They were encased inside of this fort, if you would, and a wall, and no one could get in, no one could go out. But the dilemma with it was where the children of Israel had to go was on the other side of it. And so consequently, now they're stuck in that. The people in Jericho, they're in there. They're not coming in. They're not going out. But the children of Israel, they can't go forward because they have to win this. They have to defeat this battle before they can move on to the place that God has for their lives. Then the Lord said to Joshua, verse number 2, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city." Now, he starts to give them some instructions. See, God's not just going to tell you to go do something without giving you an understanding of how to do it. "March around the city once with all your armed men. Do this for 6 days. Do you want us to shoot at them? What do you want us to do? Charge at them? Take our swords? No, just march around the city for 6 days. "Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times. Honestly, I'm like, this to me is interesting because still no weapons, nothing that I would think that you would defeat the enemy with. 7 times with the priests blowing trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." Okay, now, if you were going to win a battle, it wouldn't be this way as far as I'm concerned. And so it makes me start to understand that the way God does stuff is different from the way that you and I would do things. In fact, that takes me to my first point. Here we go. If you want to write this down, trust God, trust his perfect plan, that even when it doesn't make sense. Trust God when it doesn't make sense, because he's going to take you somewhere. He's going to lead you somewhere, and his plan is better than your plan. Regardless of how it appears, trust him in it. Let me ask you this question today. Do you think God can be trusted? Do you think God can be trusted? Because I can tell you, he can be trusted better than you can be trusted. His judgment can be trusted better than you can be trusted. And then ultimately, there's two sides of this question. God needs for you to know that he can be trusted. But then you need to know that you can be trusted. Because you can't really know your future and own your future until you know that you could be trusted with what God has given you to. Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 30th verse says this, "By faith." Now, this is 1,000 years later, this is written of them. By faith, not by sword, not by cannons, not by chariots, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. If you're going to defeat what you have in front of you, it's not going to be because you're a good fighter. It's not going to be because you're really smart. It's going to be because you trust God, because God has the best plan to get you where you're going to go. This was a fortified city, but now God's going to lead them. If you're going to get to the next level, you're going to have to learn to trust God where you are for him to take you to where you're going. Verse number 6, so Joshua, the son of Nun, Joshua's leading this nation, obviously. Moses is gone, and now Joshua is the new leader on campus here. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of them. Now, let me explain what the Ark of the Covenant is, because it's kind of random there, and if you don't study the Bible a lot, you should, because it's pretty amazing. But if you don't study, so let me explain to you what the Ark of the Covenant is. The Ark of the Covenant was basically a box that they had built by the instruction of God that the 10 commandments were in. And wherever the Ark of the Covenant went, it was like the presence of God was wherever the Ark of the Covenant was. It was considered to be holy and sacred. So now he's giving them instructions about his presence being with them. And he says, take the Ark of the Covenant, take my presence with you, and have the 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard, go ahead of the Ark. And when Joshua, verse number 8, when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guards marching ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. Okay, so here God's having them. And I have to tell you, 7's used a lot in this passage. For 6 days, they're going to march around one time. And on the 7th day, they're going to march around 7 times. Now they're blowing the trumpets here. And it's amazing to me that they're blowing trumpets. And again, we're seeing this word, this number 7 show up. So here's the thing that I'm going to challenge you about the Ark of the Covenant, that we have to go with the presence of God. But here he has people that are blowing the trumpets. They're listening to what he has to say. They're moving when he tells them to move. And yet he's marching in agreement with God. So here's the thing that I want you to understand. You have to surround yourself with people who are moving in the same direction as you. You have to surround yourself with people who are moving, and I'll use the word believers, even Christians that are moving in the same direction of you. Listen, if you're trying to build a good family, the last thing that you want to do is hang out with your party buddies. Amen, Brother Paul. Because the truth is they're not moving in the same direction as you. If you have friends that have just racked up all of their credit cards and honestly, they're not very good with money, the last thing that you want to do is ask them for financial advice. You want to be around people, get people in your life that have already walked the road in front of you, are moving in the direction that you are, and that ultimately will get you to where you want to go. That's one of the reasons why we want you to be in a group. We want you to sit in a group with people walking through the same struggles you're walking through, learning the same things that you're learning. Ultimately, you're going to hear some wisdom. After service today, make sure you go out and sign up for a group. But surround yourself with other believers who are committed to the same goal. Verse number 10, let me move on. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give out a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, and then shout. So for 6 days, they're walking around this city. They're walking around the city in absolute silence, not saying a word. What do you do in your life when you're walking around the same circumstance over and over and over again? I'll tell you what I do. The Bible says in the book of James, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, you might be healed. I complain. I pick it all apart. We passed that stone 6 times now. We're doing this absolutely no direction. I complain out loud. I complain to my friends. I complain to God. I complain to my dog. I complain to the people in the grocery store. I complain. What do you do? Let me tell you what some people do. They get mean. Some people get mean when they're walking around the same thing over and over again. There are some people that they decide to self-medicate. Some people blame other people. Having to go around, is it your fault? What did you do that made? The place where you are and what you're walking around, it's by God's design. most likely you can't move forward into the next thing. You can't graduate to the next grade. You can't get to the next place until you get what you're supposed to get out of that. And so here's what he was telling them. Consider the priority of silence. Many times we have to learn to be silent. Stop complaining. Can I just talk for a second and say, it's amazing to me how many people complain on Facebook. Do you know that complaining on Facebook still counts as complaining? A bad attitude on Facebook still counts as a bad attitude. Do me and you a favor. Please don't make negative comments about your family and your spouse on Facebook. I'm going to preach for a couple minutes here. Sometimes we have to learn what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 3 and 7 says this, there's a time to speak and there's a time to get off of Facebook and be silent. Amen, brother. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we just need to practice silence. Be quiet and let God speak and no one else. I read this recently. I want you to write it down. I hope we left some space there for you. Are you ready? People who blame things rarely change things. People who blame things rarely change things. Blame is an unsellable change avoidance strategy. Blame is an unsellable change avoidance strategy. What happens is when we complain, when we blame, it's not a strategy to bring about change. Verse number 11, I'm going to go on. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city. Now, this is the presence of God. He's carrying the ark of the Lord around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Number four, here's the fourth thing I want you to get. Focus on the power of the Lord. Now, they're carrying the ark of the Lord around. This is the presence of God going with them. Focus on the power of the Lord and not on your problem. It's easy to get discouraged when you see how big your problem is. It's easy to get discouraged when you see how big your problem is and take your eyes off of how big God is. But when you begin to see who God is, and that's one of the wonderful things about coming to church and being a part of a worship service, is because all of a sudden somebody else is standing next to you and they're declaring God's greatness. And sometimes I have to tell you, there have been days when I go to church and I don't have it in me to praise God for myself, but somebody standing near me does. And it's almost like while they're praising, I'm going like, you. Me too, God. Me too, God. That's what I'm. And they lift my spirit. And then it's not long before all of a sudden I'm singing and I'm raising my hands and I'm raising my voice. Focus on the power of God, because see, God can accomplish more in your circumstance than you can accomplish. God's power is greater than your power. God's understanding is greater than your understanding. And God is greater than the problem that you're facing. If it's an addiction, if it's a habit, if it's a mindset, if it's an attitude, if it's a family member, if it's a financial problem, if it's something standing in front of you, listen, our God is greater than your problem is. And that if you try to explain away all of the problems and make God small, you'll miss out on seeing God in the middle of your circumstances. Verse number 12, Joshua got up early the next morning and the priest took the ark of the Lord, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. And on the second day, they marched around the city once again and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except on that day, they circled the city seven times. On the seventh day, they got up and went around it seven times. Here, let me give you my next point. Point number five, don't forget the essential, the essence of endurance. You have to know how important endurance is. There are some times when you want to quit. There are some times when you want to quit and you can't quit because you're about to achieve it. I wonder how many people have quit right before they were ready to get their breakthrough, right before things were about to go in their favor, and they just simply quit. You can't quit. There are some things you can't avoid and graduate to the next level. When I was in college, there was a science class that I had to take, and I'm good in math. I'm really good in math. I'm obviously good in music and arts, and there are some things that I could process things, but science, for some reason, it just couldn't keep my attention. And so I just decided, I'm not going to take that class. Well, there was something that I guess I had omitted or failed to pay attention or just ignored. It was a required class. And I came down to my senior year, and when I came down to my senior year, here I am sitting in my senior year, and in my senior year, I'm having to take a freshman science class because I thought I'd be able to get around it without it. There are some things that you're not going to be able to get around it without learning what you have to learn where you are, which means you're going to have to stick it out. You're going to have to endure it. You're not going to be able to run away from it. You're not going to be able to find some shortcut. Many of us, what we want to do is we want to get a shortcut to our future. I'll graduate without the science class. No, you won't. I'll end up with good finances without learning how to manage finances. No, you won't. I'll end up with a great marriage without learning how to have a great marriage. No, you won't. There are some things that we have to learn. There's a process that God puts us through, and you can't negate the essential element of endurance, living it out, allowing the Lord to school you day by day by day by day, and learning what you're supposed to learn. That ultimately, there are some people that they want to take a shortcut, and you know what they do? They cheat. That's what cheating is. It's a shortcut. I didn't learn it. I didn't study. I don't want to know it, but I want everybody to think it so I can move ahead. Let me just tell you, for cheaters, you might be able to fool somebody and move ahead, but ultimately, there's a place where that's going to cost you. There's a place where that's going to cost you. You missed that piece, and you thought you could cheat on the exam, and eventually you'll get caught. Listen, eventually you'll get caught. If you get caught by the teachers, you know what happens? You get failed. You have to go back to the beginning and do the whole thing over again because you can't take the shortcuts. And even more than that, you can't take the shortcuts in life. You know what scares me? It scares me that one of these days, like, I'm going to be going in for like some brain exam or something like that, and the doctor that's examining me happened to cheat, take a shortcut on the chapter of whatever it is that I have. Like, well, I wish I could treat you, but the truth is, I don't know. I'm gonna have to put a cheat sheet up my sleeve during surgery. No, there are some things you just can't cheat on. In order for you to move forward in your life, you have to get it, and it's gonna take some endurance for you to get through it. Let me finish this story out. Ultimately, they march around this, and when they marched around it seven times, the walls fall flat. The walls fall flat. Now, let me just tell you, it's not logical that the walls fall flat. When I was younger, I tried to figure it out. Like, okay, how did the walls fall flat? Maybe they were kicking their heels while they were doing it, and they weakened the foundation around it. That's not what happened. It doesn't even resolve it. Logically, it doesn't resolve it. It just says they did what God told them to do, and the future happened the way God said it would. And in your life, there are some things that it doesn't make sense to you because no one else is doing it that way. But I'm just going to tell you, just follow the instructions of God. And that ultimately, if you follow the instructions of God, He'll make the future happen for you. My last two points. Are you ready? Number six, never forget that God is with you. Never forget that God is with you. They walk around that city six times, and on seventh day, seven times, and the walls fall down. And there was a woman on the inside of that city. Her name's Rahab. She helped them. They had sent spies into the city, and she housed those spies. And she said to them, just remember me. When all of this takes place, remember me and my household. And here's the crazy thing about it. Rahab was a harlot. She was a prostitute. And yet she knew that God was up to something. And it makes me remember, know this, that God doesn't forget anybody. He doesn't forget, even if it doesn't matter what decisions you've made. It doesn't matter what path you've walked up to this point. The second that you start to learn what God wants you to learn and do what God wants you to, He doesn't forget you. The walls fell down, everything caved in around her, and God didn't forget her, and she was rescued. And in fact, if you just turn over a few pages in your Bible over to Matthew, the first chapter, where it starts to talk about the lineage of Jesus, you're going to read all those begats that doesn't make any sense. But in the middle of that is one person's name that almost seems like it shouldn't be there. And it happens to be Rahab the harlot. Included in the lineage of Jesus. And I have to tell you, your heritage, your future is greater than you even imagine. And all you have to do is begin to trust God. And if you'll trust God and do what He tells you to do, He'll not forget you. And my last point is, keep trusting Him and put one foot in front of the other. Many of us, we're stuck. We're right where we're supposed to be. I mean, we're stuck in this place going around the same thing. You know what He wants you to do? He wants you to learn what you're supposed to learn at that place. And then once you get it, He's going to open up a door for you to move forward. You see, God has a destination for you. Are you willing to learn what He wants you to learn? Are you willing to trust Him and get the discipline? Are you willing to let Him do in you what He wants to do in you, or maybe do through you what He wants to do through you? Are you ready to get victory over anger? Are you ready to get victory over a habit? Are you ready to get victory over maybe some attitude that you have? Learn what you're supposed to learn. When you get ready to do that, God will move you into the future. You'll graduate from where you are into the next level. But not until then. So will you say yes to God today? Let me pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the hope that comes out of the word of God that speaks to us and gives us direction. And now, Lord, I ask you that you will touch each and every person here today. For those that are searching for direction from you, for those that are searching for a future, for those that are searching, dear Lord, and it seems like they're in a place and they can't move forward. I ask you, dear Lord, that they'll surrender to you. They'll submit their hearts and lives to you and surrender whatever it is. And they'll say yes to whatever plan, even it seems foolish. They'll say yes to going to talk to somebody that and apologizing for something they didn't even do. That they'll call somebody that they've been alienated from. Dear Lord, that they'll sign up for some study, that they'll go and have a conversation with a wife or with their children, that they'll do whatever it is that you put in front of them, and they'll do it consistently until they graduate from this level and own the life that you have for them. Lord, prepare our hearts to move forward in you, but Lord, prepare us to stand and learn what you want us to learn on this day. Lord, if there's somebody here today that hasn't surrendered their life, their whole life to you, hasn't received you as Lord and Savior, I ask you, dear Lord, that just like Jericho, that their walls will come down and that your spirit can rush in. And just like Rahab rescued her, Lord, will you rescue them today? Will you save them? And now, Lord, I'm asking you, dear Lord, for the people that need to surrender their life to you, that they'll say yes. If you're here today and every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer, but maybe you're ready to say yes to God and say yes to the plan that He has for you. Will you, in these next few moments, just repeat this prayer after me? And as you repeat this prayer, just open your heart and receive Christ in as Lord. Will you repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your only Son, that He came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, rose again so that I might have life. I receive Jesus into my heart today as Lord and Savior. Anything that separates me from you, Lord, I lay it down at the cross. Jesus, come in, and from this day forward, I'll follow you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer today and you needed to pray that prayer today. Maybe you surrendered your life when you were a little child, but you've walked away and you've lived your own life, but maybe you've never surrendered your life to the Lord. You might have even attended church, but you've never surrendered to Him and said, okay, God, it's you and I'll follow you. If you surrendered your life and received Christ as your Savior today, you need to pray that prayer. Can I see your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you in the days ahead. Can I see your hand right now so I can pray for you? Yes, I see it. The Lord sees it. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Someone else, I'm waiting on you. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, I ask you, God, that you'll seal this work by the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. If you just raised your hand, everybody, if you'll just keep your eyes closed for one more moment. If you just raised your hand today in this room, I'm going to ask you to reach into the seat in front of you. And there's a card. It's a decision card. It said, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to ask you if you would take this and fill this out. And I'm going to ask you to take it to the Starting Point Guest Center, bring it down here to Pastor Jeff at the end of this service so we can help you get started. Amen. Will you let them know that they've made the best decision of their life? We're going to stand together. We're going to sing. And it's a song of surrender. It's a song saying, Lord, I'm surrendering everything to you. Come on, let's sing together.